Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to IWTN Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community
Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
A'udhu billahi minash rajim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah. Many Shaitan, away from Shaitan, the rejected, accursed enemy to mankind. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. We bear witness that there is no one God, Allah, and there's none worthy of worship besides of Him. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And we bear witness that Muhammad is the slave's servant and messenger. Nastahinuhu, nastaghfiruhu, I'm looking to be here after a jail. You only do we ask for help. You only do we think we're looking to be here. And we believe in you. Azza wa Jalla. Highly exalted. Highly glorified. You bear witness that Allah is God alone. None like unto him whatsoever, no partners, no associates. In any form or fashion of thought or imagination. And with that witness that Muhammad is the slave servant and messenger, the prayers and peace of God be upon him. And the peace extends to his family, while the elder here, our Sahaba and his companion, Ismail, and my God, and upon us all. Amen. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessing. It's good to be in the company of believers, always. It's especially good being in the company of believers living in a society to where numerically is still, quote-unquote, minority, numerically, never. A recommendation. And they say, well, we got the minorities here. I'm not a minor. Allah made me. I'm a major. Just as you are. I'm not bigger than you, I'm just another minor. You got that minority mentality. Allah made us and Allah made us good. All people are made good. So when we come together as believers in a society where American we are the minority, and in particular, say you like Indianapolis, and as you go to Philadelphia, you can't speak enough in another Muslim, right? In New Jersey, in Indianapolis, you can catch the flu. So when you get together like this, these are very special times. And we should cherish these moments for getting together as believers. Under the oneness of Allah, La ilaha illallah, that is our banner. So we appreciate these moments. We cherish these moments. Some of you, I will say again for another 7 days, and that's inshallah. So we should cherish these moments. And in time, God will be a continue to evolve our community life and change those situations. And we should intentionally create opportunities for us to come to something, you know, whatever it may be. We know we got bad Christmas dinners, but something, let's do something. What can we do with it from last year? And that will really help us grow in our community life. I want to speak a little bit today about leadership. As a science, leadership as a discipline. And I had really wanted to have this talk or a similar talk 2 weeks ago, but it didn't work out. And then last week, I chose not to for a various reasons. So this week, we're going to talk about leadership. So this has been on my mind for 2 weeks. Right? And just for the record, you know, I'll save all my notes. So this is from February of 2019. Okay, so I'm going to go through these notes. But I do. I'll save it. I probably have done. Of course, you add me, they should go like I'm doing now. Right? My basic notes, I have notes in my back 20, 30 years. I'm joking. So maybe if we accept leadership as a science means the word for science in Islam is ilm, right? Knowledge, science, right? Ilm. If you get this from that, the word ulama and ta'lim all come from that word. Ayn, lam, li, right? Ilm, science. So science is just a thoughtfulness, just a methodology to whatever we have done. So leadership has a science. And also, leadership has a discipline that we can follow. And we can follow leadership much better based on the heavenly scientific and the discipline. But the discipline has to be according to the Quran. That's our book. Whatever we say, do, brag about, or whatever, or be corrected, we should be able to find its substance, its root in the Quran, first and foremost. Backed up many times with the life model of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are told here in the Quran, oh, you who believe, yeah, you Aladdin, I am you. Those who believe. It says, Atifu Allah, wa Atifu al Rasulullah. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul. And it says, wa uli. Al-Amri Mitkum, in bold charge with authority among you. This is the Quran speaking. Who's it speaking to? Yeah, you gotta be in a happy mood. It's speaking to those who believe. It says, if you differ in anything among yourselves, then refer it to Allah and His message. You know, we ain't gonna say, well, I saw on TV, I read in the magazine. No. If you believe it, what does Allah say? How did the Prophet Muhammad live it up? He says, refer to Allah and His message if you do believe in Allah in the last day. He says, that is best to you. And the Kataru Asadu Tahweel. That is best for you and most suitable for final determination. So there are some questions in the Quran that are, I don't know what the Mutashat, right? It's allegorical and parables. But there's some looking at. This is a looking at. It's like, hey, no, you can try and say, well, let me sign something like this. let me break it down. It's plain. If you are a believer, obey Allah and His Messenger. If you're a believer, and those charged with authority among you, and if you're different in anything, take it back to Allah and His Messenger. Yes, you do believe in Allah in the last days, because that is the best, the most suitable, for final determination. Another verse I read here. Now, this is the same one. This is just a translation. Chapter 4, verse 59. The best form of leadership is when you, or me, as a single individual, have agreed within myself and you within yourself to follow leadership. Yes, that's where it begins. You have to say, I'm going to follow leadership. Yeah? To follow leadership, when you agree to obey your inner positive voice, yeah? Then you don't need to someone to follow up behind you like a parent or a guardian, threaten someone with punishment. Such people don't even need a police department. The police are for those who break the law. Really? If you have that inner voice in you to follow what's right with leadership, you don't have to fear, because you're in agreement with your goodness, with your nature. You're already in agreement with it. You don't have to fear the wrath of Allah to make you do right, because you want to do right. That is when you have internal leadership, simply called Al-Islam, right? Because Al-Islam means to submit my will. You don't say ignore or get rid of or criticize your will. You keep your will, but you make your will submit to Allah's will willingly. That's called Al-Islam. We're told in the Quran, says that Muhammad is not the father of any of them. Muhammad was sent to watch over us like a dad. But he is Rasulullah, he is the messenger of Allah. And the Katabai Nabi, the seal of the prophet. And Allah has full knowledge of all things. So surely if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not to be the daddy over any of the believers or any of us, we can't be the daddy over each other. There has to be a self-discipline leadership within you, within me, in order for us to follow leadership. And with those people who would reject the prophet, Allah tells them and says, though it is the truth, say, the Imams tell us, those who reject, not us, those who reject, he says, it is not my responsibility for arranging your affairs. There has to be self-discipline and leadership within you, within me, in order for us to follow leadership. Once you have that discipline in your life, then you have no problem following wise leadership. Leadership. the ability to lead. When we make the lie, the Iman is our front. The word Iman comes from the same root word as Moon's mother. So it's not a big masculine thing. So we think that it comes from root in the same word, Moon, mother. Yes. And when the prayer is being said, the one leading the prayer has to be trusted. And we testify along the way that they are being trusted. At the end of their fat behind, we say, I trust. Who are you trusting? Yes, Allah. You're also trusting the one leading the prayer. Otherwise, they should not be leading the prayer. You don't get behind prayer behind someone you don't trust. You don't know what they're saying. Leadership. So the Imam began saying the prayer. We're going to say one of the choir prayers. If we're going to use the prayer as a sign or a symbol that shows you how to do the right function. Well, the Imam, there's a reason for that. You got to wait until he says Allahu Akbar, then you follow. And then you see, go up there. Well, here, I know you're going too long. I know he said the Fatiha and two or three surahs. Can you go ahead and email? No. You wait until he says Allahu Akbar, and then you follow. You don't get ahead of the leader. Talking about leadership, how it works, how it functions. You can't say the top's leading to the right and the left, so I gotta go. I got something to do. He's taking too long. Unless you got a real emergency that comes up. Follow the leadership. You don't get ahead of the leadership. Now, we have to be educated in the religion because the Imam could make a mistake. You don't know the religion, you can make the same mistake he made. But if you know the religion, you can say subhanAllah. And some books say, I don't know what these books. Leadership, you don't keep leadership, and it ain't gonna go down underneath. it ain't gonna become weakened under me. I refuse. I definitely loudly proclaim, I refuse. Document this, please. For leadership to be going weakened under me or whoever come behind me. Can't have it. It ain't gonna work. And you all got to have the courage to say, it ain't gonna work. Okay, what happened? I don't want to forget that. Leadership has to go first. And recognize those who follow. So the Prophet Muhammad told him one time. Look what he done? He shortened, he quickened the prayer, shortened the prayer, and there's why he said, because a mother was being just very much. He and her baby daughter. So he recognized the conditions and justice of course. Now, you don't know what the Imam is saying. It was sick like a little prayer off the prayer. That's why they have to be one who you trust. Yes. Leadership, the head. The head is on top for a reason. The head has all five senses. This is human being got five senses. They're all in the head. From here on down, it's just one sense. Feeling. And when that little leech-like clock, they cause electrosome to the womb of the mother that did not form, it was being formed first. The head, yeah. And the head is bigger than the body, right? So the baby, the head is bigger than the baby's body. And when the birth is being done, what comes out first? The head. Then the child begins to crawl. What's out front? The head. Then finally, he gets his balance and stand up. What's on top? The head. A lot of us have all this found in there. And every family, that's the head. Rasulullah said, for the love of himself, he said, there's two or more. He said, a point and a meter. Right? That's the soul of the prophet. Appoint someone to lead the project. So we thank Allah for giving us common sense religion. See, as Imam Muhammad said earlier in his mission, his very first speech. He talked about the stability of our, he said, be so stable and said the windows to be wide open and the wind to be blowing and the curtains when you be open. Because those are the winds of emotion. And we're not going to be dictated by the winds of emotion. That's called simple mental. Simple come first. You come mental. No, you go simple, baby. It's mental. Because the mind must control the feelings. Otherwise, you end up in a lot of trouble. And the history that we have in our American evolution, Islam of being Muslim. We came from a very, very, very emotional people. Because someone lied to us and lied on us. Lied for us. How they lied for you? Most times you catch your super liberal friends, they lying for you. In your bank, leadership, the discipline. It's a science. It's mathematical. It's rooted in the Quran. So let's go forward as a community. A lot of past blessings, I've been to continue the best of Quran. But there are certain things that have to be in place to recognize and establish and reinforce by the believers. This is almost right. I think about the Imam who came before me. I got my mind 1, 2, 3, 4. 3. Yeah, 4. Now think about it. and each of them has their issues. But if we maintain the respect, we are human beings. We all make mistakes. But when it comes to personal life, I'm not your Wakia. I can get my nose up in your business. And you're not my Wakia. You can't get your nose up in my business. Unless we invite somebody in, right? I need help. That's your personal business. But when it comes to community business, we have leadership. And it ain't going to weaken, inshallah, 1 ounce. Well, I'm being mad. They ain't gonna call for it. They ain't gonna pay for it. I'm doing the blog talk show thing. And it's titled, Multiple Women Who Have Given 60 Plus Years of Nonstop Commitment to the Ellis Line. You know how we do that? Because they paid the biggest price for us to be here. That's leadership, too. That's leadership. I told y'all last week, y'all going to do an idea, put it on Facebook. Ask a question. I said to my African-American black brothers, if you can go back and talk directly, to a direct blood descent, direct great 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 grandparents, and talk to them for 30 minutes. But they're in the hall of the spaceship. Would you do it? Or would you say to them? And keep in mind, in the hall of the spaceship, the species, right? Dead bodies, sick people. Terrible smell. The ship's rocking, creaking, and you know they can feel loved ones. What would you say to them? You know, and I'll be going to the answer because we can guess. But that's going back to the point I was saying last week. We owe them. Because if they didn't make that travel, that they journey, that hellish journey, wouldn't be here. They say only the strongest survive. Got here, you can fast forward a little bit. Say, now they're out there in the hot Georgia sun, hot Alabama sun, been there all day long, digging cotton. We can drop you in there for a couple of hours and feel that hot sun. What'd you say to them? And we know we can't do that, right? But in our minds, we can kind of get back this. Wow, we owe them. We owe them a lot. The pain, the suffering they went through, and then they have a mentality so wicked to where that they beat down everything in you of pride, of heritage, culture and of religion and of name, took all that from you and gave you in exchange those same things back artificially in the worst way, the worst name, the worst food, the worst dress, the worst religion. And then that's a wicked, it's different to say we're going to take something from somebody. That's wicked enough. You're going to become a schemer. I'm going to replace it with something artificial that requires him to come through me to get any kind of super product. That's wicked. And that created an emotionally unbalanced people. If they can tell us 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago that, and we believe this to be true now, that the Hispanic child that laid on cement floor for 2 weeks covered with aluminum foil, ain't that something? We multiply that for us. If aluminum foil, the cement floor for 2 weeks can damage someone for a whole life, that cruelty You don't see Europeans speaking Yoruba or Swahili? Or those of us who used to speak Yoruba or Swahili, you speak English. You see that clutch? That's unnatural. And Allah blessed us to come back to one of our languages in the Quran. Oh. And to get out of the emotionality. We pray in 5 times a day, faster than Ramadan, would take some emotions out of you. You control by emotions. I give a what do I give up? Now, this book is not paper. It's not ink on a page. Ooh, I write the third talent, as it's called, to where they sat down and put the book into a compiled form. The book is written on the heart of the believers. And every Muslim in here, no matter how little we know, they're trying to learn the Quran how. By heart. The Quran came to Rasulullah and ended the press and pressed and run the heart. No, you're squeezing living like this. They're squeezing. Why are you squeezing the lemon or the orange? To bring the content that's inside, outside, so you can share it with the people. Everybody gets some lemon. Now, Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had already lived a whole lifetime. You know what a whole lifetime means? He was 99%. He was 100%. Because Muhammad tells them, you have already lived a whole lifetime amongst them. He was known as Al-Amin, right? But the angel Jibril came and squeezed it out of him. Well, we can guess on that, too. This does that make sense? Yeah? So when the Quran came out of the prophet, he began to speak to the people. And the people began to pick it up, the revelation. And they put it on their heart. They didn't put it on their mind. First, it goes to the heart first. Why to the heart first? Because the heart is an unselfish organ that feeds the whole body. The brain got to think about it. Yeah? The brain is on top like the mountain. That's why it says in the Quran, if this book had been revealed on a mountain, the mountain would have fallen. I literally the brain would have told you. You wouldn't have made it. So he sent it to the heart, a pure heart, in Muhammad, on the because he had already lived a whole lifetime. Then he got to squeeze it, like you squeeze the fruit, the wine press, on the grapes. And then came the Quran, began to come and say, first word was ikra. He said, I can't read. And do you think when Jibril said to Rasulullah, read, he had to read it. No. He was telling him to read something else. Interrupt this field, that's the key word, color, creation. Read your creation. Surah 30, ayah 30, that the original nature that Allah made man on was the original thing. The email fixed. 30, I guess 30. And so he began to read the nature over the years. Because he personified the best of every human being before and after him. Muhammad does. That's why he's called Muhammad. What does Muhammad mean? One worthy of praise. Must you take your jury to the pawn shop to get a praise? Look at first. Huh? I have to go watch my grandfather. How much did it work? Huh? Muhammad, he knew how to praise worthy. Not because he was special, because Allah made him special for us. Because he's still living to the day of Muhammad. He says the day of Muhammad is 1,000 years of the Noah, right? That's what the Bible says. So long as it's the first. But then it says another part of life is 50,000 months. So you don't think what Muhammad, when he died, it says he died in 570 AD. No. Muhammad didn't die. See? Yeah, and grave is back to him again. I want to call the grave. He talking about Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. He talking about the Muhammad Rasulullah. He ain't dead. I gotta get proof, right? Should I get proof for it? I see that? Because we gonna say prayer to remember, right? We're gonna say, Allah Muhammad, Allah Ali, Muhammad, Allah Ali, Muhammad, camera. Look on camera. What's on the camera? Isn't that perfect yet? Yeah. Camera is selected out of Ibrahim, all of Ibrahim. So, Muhammad is still a witness. And before that, what did we say in prayer? We first get into a crew, right? We say, attach your ass to the block, you will follow what? To the tie your block, right? They can ask Allah. Then who do they can ask? As-salamu alaykum. On your hand of evil. What is the cat? First person masculine. Like I'm talking to you directly. Right? Cat saying, you person. He's saying prayer, right? And we give him the greetings. As-salamu alaykum. On your hand of evil. The prophet. The mission, the purpose, he ain't dead. There's a lot. And leading the word. They ain't gonna tell us. I'm gonna take one off of you. You ain't gonna tell that. Sorry, but so I feel the beat. Maybe to come back up. Okay, don't worry about that. This is a good day. We're doing a good day. Time. We've been well taught in the 6 of those away from us. As soon as we met that 400, we've been way off taught. The world don't know. What we know is when we shut down, what we know. They're going to be shot. We shut down, but what they don't know. And they got me in their head, but they don't know. They don't have a completion. But Muhammad thought about the completion. The Quran completes the books. Muhammad completed the prophets. The Islam completed the religion. Alhamdulillah. Allah grant us good, absolutely this life. Grant us good, absolutely life to God. To protect us from the torment of the fires of man. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I guess he's still there. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم
ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة
May 5th, that's a Sunday,
We're going to meet here with the Folk Alert. That's mainly a Catholic-based group. We're going to meet here to have dinner around 12:30 in the morning. And then two, we do like a nationwide Zoom. We do about 20 different masters around America. He's going to be alone, so it's international. We're going to have a discussion about our relationship with the Muslims and the Catholics and about this book. So we have, go ahead. We got about 10 copies, it's $10 a book. That way you can read the book in advance of the day so you can, so when you come, you can be more familiar with it. You know.
You're just saying, how do we send money through, like, online or something like that?
For the Conway? Is it Cash App?
Yeah.
Dollar sign, Neuro, or like, anybody in the book, somebody? You can reverse that. We got that on the board, but we had about 30 people come send books there on Monday. Yeah. And it's really successful. Sister Joy and my wife, Sister Carol, and Jessica, he even made the connection. And they have some good questions too. And so I put that on the board so that they up here. And I put that on the board because they was, sometimes when we talk to non-Muslims, we don't realize that we say a word in the air, but if you keep on going, they're like, what did they say? I said, that's another, somebody said Juma. I said, which book? We got Juma and da da. They don't know Juma. I just know Juma means my prayer. So. And then a lot of people let me know, but you know, for mosque is really French.
Mm-hmm.
And mosque is French. Last year with the Arabic, right? Place of frustration. So. So that was this past Monday. So we had weekends still on Sunday. We'll be again this Sunday at 10:30.
Right.
Yeah. So, is
there
anything else going on?
Yes. Do we have a board tomorrow?
My cousin passed. So I won't be able to come. If it is, he got by me, I guess.
Yeah.
It may be, but I had a guest in my family. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, Farida
Family
Found on Housing.
Good.
Inshallah.
Give me a break. Good, okay. Because I was looking yesterday. I can't think of yesterday about housing. So now I'm looking at them. Are there any more assistance with that? Okay. Okay. Good.
That was
my next
part.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, yeah, so I was still looking at after the one yesterday. Now we're over here. If you found anything, yeah, it's really looking. So, alhamdulillah. So, keep Brother Khalil, stop in prayer, and other things we may be here looking about. Are there any more announcements?
Yeah.
So, some journals here. We got two Bibles here. You can use the pattern, just take one because. It's being paid for, but you need to get the paper to circulate more. We're going to get about 10 copies then, so we can be able to pass them out. It's like it was something else. Oh, last Sunday, we had a good time at the banquet. Honoring Judge Shaikhi as the Interfaith Ambassador of the Year. And it was really special. Very, very special. So, alhamdulillah. Okay. All right. Assalamu alaikum, dear one.
For what promises to be a fascinating discussion, and universal values, how Muslims are to contribute to world peace. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in giving a most warm welcome to Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad.
Thank you. Thank you. In the name of God, we trust God for the results of our efforts, that our efforts be pleasing to him. And we salute with the traditional salute the last prophet with the prayers and peace upon him and what follows. It is indeed one of the most special occasions for me during my leadership representing the Muslims of America to have the opportunity to make this address at this luncheon given by World Affairs Council on this significant day, December the 7th. I'm asked to speak on how Islam can contribute to world peace. I believe that's a very easy topic for me, and if I would satisfy my own desire, I would speak too long and do a disservice to you on this occasion. I would speak too long on the very positive and wonderful things that I find in our holy book and in the life of our prophet, prayers and peace be on him, that give us all the encouragement that we need and even more to serve world peace. President J. Curtis Mack, Vice President Miriam Marcus, and the chair, I would like to say thank you for this very special opportunity. Honorable gathering, in which I've been made aware, in this gathering, I've been made aware that the representative of the Royal Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Excellency, the Ambassador Nazir, present here, and this is also a great, makes this occasion very special for us here. Both Christianity and Islam were severely persecuted when introduced into the area of their birth or nativity. Islam survived the first wave of persecution, and a model society for Muslims was established in Medina after wars, persecution, and wars to defend the mission and the Muslims. That model government is remembered by all Muslims, especially by the scholars of Islam. Most of the scholars of Islam that I have occasion to know and speak with regarding the character of Islamic society and the character of Islamic rule or government, they all point to the government established by the Prophet as a model for us. That government mandated that Jews would have the right to practice their religion just as they had practiced it before the establishment of the government by the Prophet in Medina. That government was a model government also in that it did not deprive any of the citizens, whether they were Muslims or not, of the right to a good life and a prosperous life. We know that trouble developed later and that good relationship with the Jews of Medina ended, and I'm not here to explain what happened to cause trouble for the relationship that we all admire and want for ourselves presently with the Jewish people, but I'm only pointing to the attitude that we should have as Muslims, and that is that we should recognize the Jewish faith as a legitimate faith, a legitimate religion, as a religion that has as its founder the prophets, the great prophets, and as the inspiration behind it, the same God that we acknowledge, the God of the heavens and the earth. Also, we have Spain, Not that we like everything that developed in the history of Spain for the Muslims and our relationship with the outer world, or with the other world people, that is Christian and others, but that was what we point to as a time for peace and good relationship with Jewish people and also with the Christians for a time. That was lost, but we are happy to point to that time, 300, 400 centuries of peace for the religions, for the two great religions, and I would say for the three great religions. We believe that Islam promotes world peace and that the elements for bringing about faith and guidance in us for peaceful coexistence with other religions and other societies is inherent in Islam. It is believed that we are leaving behind us now, to be buried forever, the religious corruption and savage behavior which we charge to the Crusades, the centuries of conflict for the what they say symbolically, the crescent and the cross. We hope that we are leaving behind us that poisonous propaganda that came out of that time period and the conflict for the Christian and Muslim communities of the world. We believe that this time that we are enjoying now for better relations with Christians and Jews and the intelligent, civilized people of the world is the best time, and I'm quoting a rabbi who was introducing himself at a dialogue that we had recently. He said that this time is the best time ever for the great religions, Muslims, Jews, and Christians. And I add, this is the best time ever for getting together to serve world peace throughout the world. Islam does more than just tolerate religious and cultural diversity. Islam promotes in its believers a sound regard for the religions and cultures of the world. Dr. Hamouda El Atti, spelled H-A-M-M-U-D-A-H, the last name is spelled A-B-D-U-L-A-T-I. In his book, Islam in Focus, writes, and I quote him, "Under the political system of Islam, every citizen is entitled to enjoy freedom of thought and expression. But, he cautions, freedom is not an invitation to chaos and anarchy. Islam promotes private ownership." I'm continuing now to present what I see as developments for Islam and in Islam that serve to relieve any suspicion that we might have that Islam is not a religion that can make a contribution to world peace. Islam promotes private ownership. Islam promotes the rights of all people to compete for shares in all resources, all the natural resources, or in all resources. Islam promotes the development of one's potential to the fullest capacity, or to the fullest extent, according to one's honest judgment. That is, as long as one is well-meaning, the person, the individual is well-meaning, and it's a person of good conscience, a person of conscience, having good intentions, then Islam is to permit that person full freedom to develop in the society as much as that person can develop. And we are to assist that person, not to just permit the person the freedom, but to give assistance to that person, whether that person be a Muslim member of that society, of our society or not. It can be a non-Muslim. We are to give that same right to every citizen, with no respect to their religion, their race, or their nationality. Every citizen is to enjoy with Muslims citizenship, quality citizenship, first-class citizenship. A real Muslim society, knowing its religion, would not allow that citizens be treated differently, having some that are not Muslims as second-class citizens and reserving first-class citizenship only for Muslims. We couldn't accept that and tolerate that in light of what our religion says in its number one authority in the Quran and the second authority for Muslims, the life of the Prophet himself, prayers and peace be on him. What is Islam? I think to tell you at this particular time what the Prophet has told us Islam is also will serve to relieve any fears that this religion is a religion that the world can welcome and give place to for the purpose of promoting or serving peace in the world. The Prophet, when asked the question, he answered, it is to believe in God, to believe in his angels, to believe in revelation, to believe in the prophets, or the prophets, that is, to believe in prophets and the books that they brought, and to believe in life after death, to believe in the judgment day, to believe in the ordinance of God, a law that works throughout the creation to reward and punish depending on the attitude toward creation. This is the belief of Muslims. And if any Muslim would recite the belief of Muslims and would not identify himself as a Muslim, I don't believe any member of the other religions, the great religions, would have any problem with those beliefs. They're the same. The beliefs are the same, essentially the same for us, whether we are Muslim or Christian or some other, or especially the people of the book, the people we call people of the book. Our beliefs are essentially the same. Where we differ, is in how we practice that religion, how we practice those beliefs, pardon me, how we practice those beliefs or apply those principles. So the Prophet also said that Islam is to believe in God, Islam is to give in charity, Islam is to pray and make prayers for God, to God, give worship to God. And Islam is to fast the month of Ramadan, the ninth month in the Islamic calendar. And Islam is to visit the house, that is to make Hajj a pilgrimage to the house. Now, as quickly as I can, I would like to say to you that to believe in God for us, to believe in God is also to believe in the unity of matter, the oneness of the system of the universe, and to believe in the unity of man, the oneness of the human family, and so on. This just comes under the topic or the heading we call Tawheed, oneness, or unity in Islam. To believe in his prophet is to believe that God communicates to man his will and purpose for man on this earth. To believe in God is also to worship God, to give our whole life in worship to God. That is, Muslims don't consider just the rituals as worship. We consider the service that we render that is useful in society. We consider all the service that we render that is useful to the society, to the Muslim society and to society at large, as worship. This we'll find in the many books that's written by our able scholars in Islam. Worship to us is being of service to mankind. That's worship to us, being of good service to mankind. And our religion, I believe, have so many references to our relationship with people at large, or to mankind, that it is impossible for us to be selfish in our religion, to work for selfish ends. We must work for the good of the global community. We are told, first of all, that our worship is the natural worship, the worship that's inherent in all people. And we are told that the house that we turn to as a symbol, giving us a center for our movements and activities, prayer, especially prayer and pilgrimage, that that house was built for all people. God says, Buniya linnas, it was built for all people. And we are also told by the prophet himself, prayers and peace be on him, that the best of us is the one who best serves people and nas, people, people. And God says that we are khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. He says you are excellent community, evolved or brought out of darkness, of ignorance and savagery, of corruption and blindness for what? All people, for all people. So it is impossible for us to know our religion and then not make our life also a service for the global, a service in the global community and for the benefit and good of the global community. We have no such idea as absolute ownership in Islam. And I think this is another point for Islam, for the Muslim community, that will, I hope, make us welcome in the society of the world. We do not recognize absolute ownership for any human being, any religion, any person. Absolute ownership is only God, for God. We say the earth belongs to God. We say the people belong to God. We say the destiny belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Our ownership is limited, has to be qualified, and our ownership is basically or essentially a trust and not a possession that we have. For we all will live and die, and we leave everything behind us, and none of us can know how our interest is going to be protected when we are dead. We only hope that it will be protected. Everything belongs to God. He is the only absolute owner of the resources and everything, including ourselves. This is how Muslims believe. If God now is the absolute owner of the earth and all of his resources and the destiny for man, then we must accept the right of all people in the benefits and in the resources. We also say that Muslims have no right in Islam to seek a dominance. And we know that the long period of wars that involved Muslim nations would suggest otherwise to us. We know that the great conquest for Islam would suggest otherwise for us, to us. But that is not our reference when we are looking for the right behavior or the right position to take. The Quran is our reference. And God says in the Quran that he will never give authority or power or rule to anyone who seeks a dominance, to anyone who seeks a dominance. Females have rights in Islam, and I'm speaking very briefly on these particular points. There's much to be said. I suggest that you who are students are inquiring to know more about Islam, go to a good library and get some of the many books that are written in English now by scholars in Islam on human rights, the rights of females in Islam. Females have rights to equal education, and the Prophet, he promoted this interest in such a great way when he promised that if any man would educate two daughters, and that was at a time when women were looked upon as property, the property of the men, to be used for the men's pleasure, their rights weren't respected at all. It was almost a savage, in fact, it was a savage time, the time before the dawning of Islam on the peninsula of Arabia. the prophet said anyone, any man who would educate two daughters would be given as a reward paradise. Women are to compete in business and also in politics or in government. In fact, I don't see any real problem for the rights of women in Islam, not when the Islam is correctly understood and the knowledge is available. I don't see any real problem for the rights of women. And I don't think that Pakistan would select a woman twice to be the head of the government if there was any serious problem for the rights of women. The daughter of Bhutto was selected once, and now she has been selected for the second time to be the president of Pakistan. So I think our fears are not well-founded. If we understand this religion of Islam, we will be removed, we'll have those fears removed from us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as normal, we'll take as many questions as we can from the audience. If you have a question and have not written it on a card yet, please do so. Raise your hand and a member of our staff will come by and we'll get to as many as we can. Imam Muhammad, the first question is, in the introduction it was said that you condemned Islamic jihad. Is that true, or did you condemn the exploitation of Islam and jihad? And please clarify the meaning of jihad.
Yes, thank you. Yes, the question was, do we condemn Islamic jihad is no. But do we condemn what is popularly seen as jihad? Yes.
Islam, jihad, something in struggle. Jihad in struggle. And the best struggle is the struggle that we make to achieve what God wants.
Achieve the end that God wants on earth. And the end that God wants on earth is not that any people dominate another people, not that any people progress at the expense of others. So that jihad is the jihad that we accept. That is our jihad. the meaning of jihad, I think I've answered that question, part of the question. Do we want jihad? Yes. We must continue to struggle. We believe that life is a continuous struggle, and we have to be prepared always to struggle and sacrifice our all for the ends that God wants in our personal life and in society.
How does the Nation of Islam regard the traditional Sunni Shiite split controversy?
Yes, I think we are a little bit more tolerant of these divisions, and we don't tend to make a lot of fuss over these divisions. We believe that these are developments that were not determined by our religion, but determined by the politics and the interaction, the sentiments, the feelings, and jealousies that developed between different parties in the history of Islam. We believe that most of it is to be charged to politics, desire for control, etc. Jealousy between brothers and sisters in Islam, jealousy between nations in Islam. We believe that eventually Shiite and Sunni will be no issue. We may not see it in our generation, may not see it in many generations, but one day we know that if we all stay believing in the Quran, firm believers in the Quran, in our religion, and followers of our prophet, if we remain on that path, that eventually the issue for Shiaism and Sunni will be gone. We tend to not want to speak too much of ourselves as Sunni Muslims, but we believe that what the founder who conceived our Nation of Islam, our organization under the honor of Elijah Muhammad, we believe that what he did was just put something together, and his only real interest was to attract down and out blacks of America. That was his only real interest, to at least identify as Muslims and identify with Islam. We think that that was his, that's what he was really about. But we know that his idea of God and his idea of leadership in Islam resembles more Shiaism or Shia teaching than it does the teaching of most Muslims who are Sunni, who are called Sunni. But we ourselves, we tend to be more comfortable identifying with those that are called Sunni and not those that are called Shiite. But I know this sounds like something we've heard before, but some of my best friends are Shiites.
Yes. What are the rights and responsibilities of the title Imam, and what are the steps necessary in your faith to achieve this position?
To achieve the position of Imam? Of Imam. Yes. In our religion, there is no real clergy, there's no priesthood, and really there's no real clergy in Islam. In our religion, the people are responsible. The people are responsible for selecting their leader, or the Imam, to lead them in the prayer, based upon two qualifications. The first qualification is that he's a decent person, his character is good. And the second qualification is that he be above them in the knowledge of Islam. Above them. They think he's above them in the knowledge of Islam. However, the second qualification is not always the one that determines who will be the leader. For sometimes the people are more learned than their Imam, but they think the Imam has the best character and the best devotion to the religion, so they will select him to be their leader.
Why do you believe that increasing numbers of violent acts, such as the bombing of the World Trade Center, are done in the name of Islam?
Well, Islam is a big force. It's a very significant force. There are about 1 billion Muslims now, we're told. And Muslims represent nations that I think gives, well, the global picture. The global picture, when we look at Africa, 50% of Africa Muslims. We look at the Middle East, the population there, Indonesia, that big country, by the way, that was not converted by the sword. They were attracted to the character of Islamic businessmen, and the character of Islamic businessmen was so impressive to them that eventually the whole country of Indonesia became Muslim. I hope we have that. I hope we can get that character in our Islamic businessmen again. yes, and in Europe, Albania, and several other Muslim communities in Asia, we are now learning that there are a significant number of Muslims in communist China, and we know of the Muslims in Russia. So Muslims are around the world, all around the world, and these persons who are reacting to their bad situation, we have to sympathize with them, but not condone their un-Islamic behavior. When I say we have to sympathize with them, when you put a person in a situation that they're fighting desperately just to exist day by day, then you have to sympathize with those persons. And that's the situation that we have for some of the Palestinians, who lost their homes and their homeland. That's the situation that we have in Kashmir for Muslims who are being denied their rights there and in many other places. So when Muslims register the hurt and suffering of Muslims all over the world, And when that Muslim that registered that hurt is also being denied his life day after day, then we can understand the desperate behavior of those individuals, but we cannot condone that kind of behavior. We have to condemn it and invite them to turn to their religion for support and for guidance and for peace.
Following that same line of thought, did you see his comment about the current situation in Bosnia and what you see as the future for Bosnia?
Yes. Well, I'm not all disappointed totally. I'm proud of the interest that I see in the West, and especially in America, to get support to the people of Bosnia. At first, I thought it was only a case of the Serbs persecuting the Muslims. But as more information came out, we began to see the picture as being not so simple, it's kind of complex. The picture is very difficult. It's a complex situation there, and political elements are there, and with religious interests. And I think that it's going to take time to work it out. I just hope that our government, President Bill Clinton, and our government leaders and American society will not forget Bosnia and will do all that it can, all we can, to bring justice to that area.
Might religious strife be lessened if all governments were secular and none controlled by a particular religion?
Well, I can tell you this, there's no Muslim government controlled by Islam that I know of. I would be very comfortable with Muslim governments being under the control of Islam. Doesn't mean that I would accept a theocracy. I don't believe in a theocracy. I love this kind of democracy we have here. But I think that all the good Christians in America would always want us to be under God. It's in the Constitution of these United States, or at least the introduction to the Constitution, that we be under God. And I would think that we would always want religious conscience and religious interest to be respected. So I wouldn't like to answer that question with a yes or a no. I would just like to say we don't have religion yet where we want to see religion. Once we have it where we want to see it, all nations should be under God.
Questions have come forward regarding Salman Rushdie. Let me combine them into one. What is your personal opinion on the death sentence placed upon him? And also, would you please talk about your feelings regarding his visit with President Clinton recently?
Yes. Well, I thought that the death sentence on him was symbolic, though real for him, because there are Muslims who won't read it as symbolic, to create a certain effect and to send out a message, and that is that Muslims love their religion very dearly, and we won't tolerate insults like he's guilty of. But according to our religion, anyone can differ with us in religion. Religion is not to be imposed upon anyone or forced upon anyone. God is too big for us to force people to serve him. The scriptures are too precious and too great for us to force those scriptures on anybody. So we are to tolerate people differently with us in religion. But I think we are to condemn anybody who makes such an attack upon sacred matters and sacred concerns and chief personalities in the religion. I'm not really offended only by his disrespect for Islam. I'm offended by his disrespect for the Queen of England, you know. But it seems that some of us will tolerate someone throwing dirt or filth on our enemy, and us, as long as our enemy gets the worst part of it.
How does the Nation of Islam look upon Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Dr. Jeffries?
Well, we look upon them as leaders who play music to black folks. And and sometimes their music caused black people to do an indecent dance.
Please comment on the accuracy of the portrayal of your father in the film Malcolm X.
Yes, let me first say that. I think that it was a good film when it comes to Hollywood. Hollywood film, good film. But accuracy, no. I saw a resemblance to my father. The actor did a very great job. I know him very well. I can't think of his name right now. Freeman, yes. Yes, he did a very good job of catching the humble posture of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the seriousness of that of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But that's only a small part of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a humorous side, and he had a lively side. He had an aggressive side to him, and much of that was missing. So I just think a small facet of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was projected. And when it comes to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a teacher of Malcolm, then it didn't do credit to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't only attract Malcolm to his mission, or to Malcolm's on mission. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave Malcolm a lot of good education, a lot of good moral teaching, a lot of good wisdom, and I think much of that was missing in the film.
America comes from a tradition of Judeo-Christian ethic, and we seem to have a difficult time understanding how to handle situations in the Middle East with Islamic lands. What would you suggest to the government of the United States as to how to deal with Islamic nations?
Yes. I think the government of the United States is in much better situation now to deal with the heavy questions and issues that it has to deal with regarding the situation in the Middle East. But I would just say that the government needs to do more. I would say unbiased, unprejudiced inquiry or study into the life, nature, and life of the Muslim societies, not just in the Middle East, but the Muslim society. Get to know what motivates us, what turns our life on in our religion, what values hold up our life, and know better the history of the people that they are dealing with directly. How did they come to be in that situation they're in? Were they always in that situation? No. The Muslims that I meet from the area tell me that at one time, before the World War II, they were enjoying good atmosphere for themselves with their neighbors, the Jews of that area. But not only that, I think we should now even accept to help the parties see better. I think if our government studies the life of the people there, that they will be able to make a contribution to even the solutions that those people may think are best for them. I'll be very plain. The Palestinian leadership, they may see solutions, and these solutions may not all be the right solution. The government of Israel also may be in the same situation. If our government leaders, who are not directly involved, sometimes outsiders, if they're sincere, they can make real contribution to a settlement, to a peaceful and acceptable settlement. So I think we should also be willing to put ourselves in that position to say that maybe if we understand them better, we can help them with their own solutions, not just listen to their solutions, but help them with their own solutions. I don't know if that's being done or not, but that's what I would advise.
Before Mrs. Glazer comes back to close the program, we're going to have time for this one last question. Again, it's an extension of some of your previous remarks. Please give specific examples of how Muslims can be of greater value to American society.
Yes, yes. Well, I've experienced it, so I can tell you. First thing you have to do is, whether you like America or not, accept that you're here and you're not going to another place. And I know you're not, because I don't see you making any plans to. So we're here. We're not going anywhere else. You have to regard the place that you are living in and where you're having your children and where you're going to leave your children, because all of us are going to die and we're going to leave our children here. You have to regard that place as your place, no matter how bad it is. And to me, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's much more good than it is bad. But if you think it's not, you think it's more bad than it is good, still, you have to live here. And you have to regard this place as your own. That's the first step. Regard this place as your own, because you're here and you're going to leave your children here. Regard it as your own. Once you do that, then things happen for you psychologically to work out all the other problems.
Amen. Wallace Muhammad, thank you for your deeply felt message of peace and reconciliation.
Thank you, Diane Glazer. Thank you very much. This has been a special honor.
Especially for me. But the World Affairs Council wants you to remember that you were here.
Thank you. I will never forget it.
Well, we want to give you... This is a book. I'll tell you what it's about. It's a bird's eye view of Los Angeles. You are going to leave here, but these people, they're in this place, as you said.
Yes.
And I want you to remember them, too, and to remember us.
Thank you so much. Thank
you
so very much.
Mm-hmm. The meeting is adjourned.
This is...